The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel ben Yamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
To download this series of shiurim, as well as hundreds of other recorded shiurim, articles, and video presentations, please visit thehalachacenter.org.
Chulin Daf Samach Zayin. And on Daf Samach Hei, we discussed machlokes between the Poskim, the Achrayim, whether or not the Chiyuv of Bdikas Teilam, in a case where there's very high infestation, over 50%, whether the Chiyuv of Medaraisa or Medarabanan. Obviously, if it's the infestation is less than 50% probability that it's infested, that obviously is only Medarabanan. I wanted to discuss today one of practical application of this, which is very negated to our blot. Our Gemara discusses that there's a difference between Darni the Bistra and Darni the Kavra. The Darni the Kavra, worms that are found in fish, are mutter. We all know that a few years ago there was a very, very big tumult about the Anisakis worm that's found in certain kinds of fish, salmon, herring, whatever, what was the other one, flounder. A number of different types of species of fish have this worm in them. And there was a very big question whether or not you're allowed to eat this fish without checking. Now, we know the Gemara says that Darni the Bistra, Darni the Kavra are mutter. However, a number of Paiskim argued that these worms are different because the Gemara's case is discussing a situation where the worms are growing out of the flesh of the fish. However, in this case, the worms are quite apparently coming from the outside. Now, that was a very, very contentious point. A number of Paiskim felt that was wrong. You can't say that the situation changed in that kind of way, because the Gemara gives a blanket statement that Darni the Kavra are mutter, and the Gemara obviously believed that these worms grow in the flesh, and the Gemara it would be irresponsible for the Gemara to say such a thing if there were other kinds of worms which didn't grow in the flesh. That's what some Paiskim, that was the position of some Paiskim. Other Paiskim felt that the Gemara is referring to a specific type of worm, Darni in particular, which was a type of worm that they knew about, but the Anisakis worm is a different kind of worm that was not under discussion in the Gemara, and other various arguments back and forth. My Rebbe Rav Shlomo Miller tried to avoid this entire issue, and he felt that these worms were mutter regardless. What was his reasoning? He made the following argument. It seems that the metzias of these worms is as follows. These worms begin their life, my narration of the metzias may not be 100% accurate, because I'm not a great expert on these matters. However, I believe that what I heard from my Rebbe is accurate, and the metzias may have to be tweaked slightly, but the metzias was something as follows, that these worms start off their life in a microscopic stage. They're not visible to the naked eye. Now, obviously, that kind of worm is mutter, because like Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva, and other places can write in the Tshuva, that worms, bacteria, and these kind of things, amoebas, and all these microorganisms that we can't see with our eyes are mutter to consume. Now, what happens to this worm? It grows, and it gets swallowed by something called a crustacean, which is a small item in the water that is treif. It's a treif, let's call it a fish, I don't know exactly what it is. It's an item that swims around the water that's treif. And these crustaceans are swallowed by the salmon or the flounder or whatever else. And by the time the crustacean is swallowed by these fish, this, I'm not sure if it's at that moment or at some point this crustacean is digested and these Anisakis worms find their way into the stomach of the fish, the larger fish, the flounder or the salmon or whatever, at that point the worm is visible to the naked eye. So the worm underwent a transformation. Before it was swallowed by the crustacean, it was not visible to the naked eye. After it comes out of the crustacean, this treif of fish, it is visible to the naked eye. So, Reb Shlomo Miller was making the following argument. Let's assume for a moment that these Anisakis worms are indeed growing outside of the fish. They're not growing in the flesh of the fish. Like the Oisrim wanted to take that position, that the Oisrim was saying, these worms we know for sure that they're growing, that they're produced outside of the fish. They don't produce themselves spontaneously within the flesh of the fish. So this is not what the Gemara is talking about. Fine. So let's assume that the worm is really an Aser Dika worm. But what is this thing? Is it an insect or is it a treif of fish? In other words, since when you have an insect that grows in the body of a kosher fish, that such an insect is mutter, the Gemara says. Why? Because since the kosher fish is mutter to eat, you're allowed to take a kosher fish and eat it. You don't have to do shchita. So therefore, the insect is part of the flesh of the kosher fish. Now let's say you have an insect that grows in the body of a treif of fish. Not in the stomach. It grows in the flesh of the treif of flesh. The crustaceans. In that case, we can have a suffix. Is this considered an insect? Because, saif kol saif, you don't have a heter on the insect. If it will grow in the flesh of a kosher fish, it would be mutter. Now that it's growing in the flesh of a treif of fish, since we can't say that it's mutter, so therefore it reverts back to its status as an insect. Or no. Or do we say that anything which grows in the flesh of a fish is considered like it's the flesh of the fish? And therefore, true, it's not a mutter dicker worm because it's growing in the flesh of a treif of fish, so it will be usher for me to eat this worm, but it's not usher for me to eat it because it's a worm, because it's an insect, because it's a sheretz, asheretz, al-aretz. That's not why it's usher for me to eat it. It's usher for me to eat it because it has a din of the fish that it grew in it, that it became visible to the naked eye. In other words, before it was visible to the naked eye, it was not considered as though it existed. It was not considered as though it was an insect. Once it became visible to the naked eye, it grew a little bit more in the flesh of the treif of fish. Now the halacha begins to reckon with this item. And the halacha recognizes that this thing is aser, but the halacha will not give this item the din of an insect, because this insect was created, so to speak, in the flesh of a treif of fish. It was not created on its own outside in the wild, because when it was in the wild, it was microscopic. It was impossible to see it with the naked eye, so the halacha didn't reckon with that at all. The time that the halacha started to deal with this item was only when it grew and became and developed its own existence in the flesh of the treif of fish, and therefore it's possible that its halacha would reflect the halacha of its host, which is the treif of fish, and therefore we would assign to this worm a din of treif of fish rather than the din of an insect. This is a big nafkamina. According to what we said last week, if you hold like the Paiskim hold, that it's not batal, there's no bitl at all, since I can find these Anisakis worms and remove them from the fish, even though it's fraught with a lot of difficulty, nevertheless, it's not batal at all, midiraisos, and I don't care if this item is a fish or if it's an insect, it doesn't make a difference to me. Aser is aser. Since it's not batal, I'm not allowed to eat it. I have to find these worms and take them out. However, if you take the position of the Paiskim that we said over last week, we'll hold that the that all insects are really batal midiraisa anyways. Even though I can find them and remove them, it doesn't matter. Since it's so hard for me to do that, it's batal anyways midiraisa. The only reason why you have to do bedikas tolam, you have to look for these insects, is only because it has a din of a barrier. Since you have the totality of the item that the Torah asr, the Torah said this item is asr. Therefore, the Chacham said it's chashuv. This isr is very chashuv at this point, and it's loy batal. That would only apply if I have the totality of the item that the Torah asr. If the Torah said don't eat a worm and there's a worm in the food, then I'm not allowed to eat it because you have the entire worm that the Torah asr in the food and it's chashuv and it's not batal. However, if the worm doesn't have a din of a worm. It has a din of a treif of fish. The Torah never said, don't eat this worm. This is not what the Torah was referring to when it said, don't eat a worm. The Torah was referring to a worm that grows in the wild, that is created by reproductive means and is visible to naked eye when it exists in the wild. However, a worm that only became visible to naked eye when it was in the flesh of a treif of fish, that's not what the Torah meant when it referred to a worm. Which language the Torah used to answer this item? The language the Torah used was, don't eat a treif of fish. Now, do I have the entire treif of fish? No. There's a very big treif of fish out there, and I only have a small part of that treif. I mean, it's actually not too big. It's a crustacean, after all. But you don't have an entire, you're not eating an entire crustacean. The crustacean has long been digested by the salmon or the flounder. The flesh of the crustacean is gone. I'm not eating the crustacean. What got mixed into the salmon or flounder? What got mixed in is this worm, this Anisakis worm, that has a din. It carries the din of its host, and the Torah never referred specifically to this Anisakis that we should give it a din of a beria and say that it's not batal. So therefore, this Anisakis worm would be batal because it doesn't have a din of a beria. And even though it's machloikas apoiskim, machloikas achreinim, whether or not it has a din of an insect, or whether or not it has a, whether it has a din of the treif of fish, that would be have a lot of a suffic variant. Since the din of beria is midrabanan, so we would say minas suffic, it is batal. Like every suffic beria, the Shulchan Aruch says that if something has a suffic of a din beria, that is also batal, because the whole din of beria that a beria is not batal is midrabanan. So therefore, since midrais is batal, and only midrabanan it may not be batal, because there are shitas and achreinim who hold that a worm that comes into existence in the flesh of a treif of fish has a din of a worm, and therefore it is a beria. But since there are places who argue on that, it would have a din of a suffic beria, and therefore this worm will be batal, and you will be allowed to eat the flounder or the salmon without looking for the Anisakis worm, despite the fact that the Gemara, our sugi, did not refer possibly to this Anisakis worm. And our Gemara did not tell us that this is dining the kavra and its mutter. Nevertheless, its halacha may be the halacha of a treif of fish, and therefore it's not a beria, and mamela it's batal.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To reach the center for halacha consultation, service, educational seminars, or media, please call 1-888-485-VAAD. That's 1-888-485-8223. To sign up to the BHHJ, the Beis Havad's weekly interactive e-journal, please visit www.bhhj.org, or you can email us at office@thehalachacenter.org.